Is over?
I don't see it that way, but that's okay. We're here.
Okay, if we can have your attention, everyone get your seats. Ms. Shriver Fox.
Thank you. Good afternoon, esteemed members of council. Are we waiting for Ms. Deaver?
We never wait for her. She'll be here.
Okay. For the record, my name is Mary Shrider Fox of Steen, Whaler, and Shrider Fox, a law firm in Ocean View. I'm here today on behalf of a homeowners association coalition that's comprised of some of the residential communities located in the vicinity of the proposed project. The communities I am representing are Bethany Lakes, Bayside at Bethany Lakes, the Salt Pond, the Reservation, Cedar Landing, and Quillen's Point. And also included in our group are various individual owners that aren't within some of these organized communities. These residents and property owners that I represent have come together to express their opposition to the Castaways project. And while you will hear some of the details of their concerns from them directly, as many of them, as you can see, are here today, I want to lead off by establishing the legal framework within which the residents' concerns should be addressed. And what I am primarily referring to, of course, is the comprehensive plan. Mr. Fuqua touched on this in his comments. We have a little bit of a different take on it. As has been well established by Delaware statutory and case law, the comprehensive plan is of the utmost importance when making rezoning decisions, and in the case of Sussex County, conditional use decisions as well. With respect to rezoning, Section 6904 of Title 29 of the Delaware Code makes it clear that such decisions shall be in accordance with the comprehensive plan and shall be for the purpose of promoting the health, safety, morale, convenience, order, prosperity, or welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. Some of the specific things to consider according to Section 6904 are the lessening of congestion in the streets, protection of the tax base, and securing safety from fire, flood, or other dangers. With respect to conditional uses, it is your county code that gives us guidance about what to consider. And in Section 115-171, while it talks about the purposes behind allowing conditional uses, it also talks about the importance of their relationship to the comprehensive plan. So no matter what our topic today, whether it's the rezoning piece of the application or the conditional use piece, the comprehensive plan must be foremost in our minds when deciding whether or not the Castaways project should move forward. And if we look at the comprehensive plan, all of it, the whole thing, the maps, the written words, the overwhelming conclusion is that this project is not appropriate for the Cedar Neck Road Peninsula. A good place to start is the future land use plan, which is described by that section of the comprehensive plan as, quote, probably the most influential part of this comprehensive plan. The county zoning regulations are intended to carry out the future land use plan, end quote. In the matter under review, the parcels of land in question are shown on the future land use map as being in a mixed residential area with an environmentally sensitive developing overlay. So we begin first with the mixed residential designation on the future land use map. Being in a mixed residential area means that certain major guidelines apply to future growth. A full range of housing types are appropriate. Non-residential development is not encouraged. Density should be between 4 and 12 dwelling units per acre, depending on the housing type. And central water and sewer facilities are encouraged. In the matter under review, the Castaways project presents a couple of problems when considering these guidelines. Firstly, it is not a residential project. It is a commercial venture comprised of an outdoor amusement water park open to the general public, with a campground and rental cottage component, not designed for residential use, but designed for transient leisure clients, is a term that was used by the applicant at Planning and Zoning, who were visiting the area. As the applicant has said, the campsites and cottages are available for short-term rentals for the summer season. What that means is that this project is entirely lacking in a residential component as it's proposed. After all, as defined by Merriam-Webster's Online, a residence is a place where one actually lives and not a place of temporary sojourn. This leads into the second problem with the Castaways project when considering mixed residential guidelines, and that is that non-residential develop is discouraged. And this project proposes nothing but non-residential use. Now, as previously mentioned, and as Mr. Fuquay mentioned, there is an additional component when considering the future land use map for this site, and that is the fact that it's in an environmentally sensitive overlay area as well. Therefore, we also have to consider the guidelines in the comp plan concerning those areas. In the future land use plan, it talks about how the environmentally sensitive developing areas are the most desirable locations in Sussex County for new housing, and how these areas have a great impact upon the water quality of the bays and inlets and upon natural habitats. The truth of these statements seems particularly obvious when one considers that in this particular location, there are many protected lands surrounding the proposed site. It makes sense that it's in an environmentally sensitive developing area. The future land use plan describes the challenge in these types of regions as one of safeguarding genuine natural areas and mitigating roadway congestion without stifling the tourism and real estate markets that provide jobs, create business, and help keep local tax rates reasonable. It then goes on to state that a range of housing types are permitted and that with respect to other types of use, retail and office uses are appropriate, and a careful mixture is the way it states of light commercial and institutional uses that can be appropriate to provide convenient services and allow people to work close to home. Other larger commercial uses are discouraged, such as shopping centers or office parks, and should be confined to selected locations with arterial roads. So, although the mixed residential future land use designation tells us that non-residential projects are discouraged, admittedly, the environmentally sensitive developing area overlay tells us that if we are careful in determining the mixture of uses, sometimes commercial or business uses are okay, like offices, retail stores, or other light commercial uses that provide convenient services to the surrounding residents and property owners. The Castaways project does not satisfy any of those guidelines. There is not a residential component at all. Again, the commercial uses proposed are atmospherically intrusive outdoor amusement water park and a campsite for RVs and tents and bungalow cottages for rental purposes and transient guests only. None of these things fit into the office category, retail category, or category of light commercial use providing convenient services to the neighbors. So when considering both the underlying designation of mixed residential and the environmentally sensitive developing overlay designation, the future land use plan tells us that the Castaways project is simply not appropriate for Cedar Neck Road. Now, we have only thus far talked about the proposed site itself, and it's also important to take into consideration the surrounding area as well. Although the proposed Castaway site is in a growth area, the property to the rear of the site has a rural designation, largely consisting of protected lands. The property to the west across Cedar Neck Road is also designated as being in an environmentally sensitive developing area, which is a growth area. But much of the underlying zones are residential in nature with some commercial uses, such as Hawker's G&E store, which I think was pointed out pre-existing zoning and is grandfathered. This is all important because the proposed Castaway site does not exist in a vacuum. And rather, one must consider what is around the site, both the existing uses and what is planned for the future according to the comprehensive plan. In terms of existing uses, the vast majority of the neighboring properties are residential in nature. That has been the trend. There are some commercial uses here and there, again, but they are of the type that complement a residential community, like a grocery store, a hardware store, restaurant, RV storage, all of which provide convenient services to the neighboring residents and property owners. And that is exactly what the comprehensive plan calls for when dealing with an environmentally sensitive developing area. And consideration of the surrounding area and how the proposed use will fit in is also exactly what state law requires as well. Section 6904B of Title IX states that zoning regulations, quote, shall be made with reasonable consideration, among other things, of the character of the particular district involved its peculiar suitability for particular uses, the conservation of property values and natural resources, and the general and appropriate trend and character of land, building, and population development, end quote. So when we look at these things that state law requires, again, we see that of the surrounding area that's not identified as protected lands, but of the area that's been developed, the vast majority is residential in nature. In the environmental assessment report that was submitted by the applicant, and I presume is on file with you as well as planning and zoning, it has made the assertion that most of the homes in the neighboring area are vacation homes. As the folks who wrote letters and who are here to testify today can tell you, that is changing more and more all the time at our beach communities. Some of the residences very well did start out as vacation homes, but more people are coming here to retire, and they either live here full-time or part-time and share their time. Maybe they go south for the winter. Sussex County is also endeavoring to attract and has attracted more young families, young professionals who are coming here for quality of life reasons. No matter what, though, the residential community surrounding the proposed site provides a solid tax base for Sussex County, as would the proposed site, which has already been mentioned, if it was developed for a purpose contemplated and permitted by the comprehensive plan, mixed residential use. Now, yes, it has been mentioned that there is a commercial zoned property right there. Two of the parcels have some commercial zoning. And yes, there could be non-residential uses there. But again, in the regular commercial zone, the types of permitted uses very well and often do can complement a residential area. By its very nature, asking for a conditional use for the campsite and for the water park parts of the project, that shows that those do not necessarily and don't normally complement the natural environment or the zone in which they lie. That's why they're conditional uses and they request special approval. And it's important to note that this is not a situation like that presented in some other previous cases that Sussex County has had to make decisions on, such as the Gibson case many years, I think it's about 7 years ago, where a surrounding neighborhood was similar in character to that which was being proposed. This is a situation where the proposed use is completely different from anything else in the area. And while different can sometimes be okay, because again, although it's largely residential, we do have some commercial, as stated earlier, the comp plan tells us that in these environmentally sensitive areas, complementing the neighbors and not disrupting them is a planning objective. Because Castaway's proposed use would change the entire character of the neighborhood, the situation is in fact more like an example that then Vice Chancellor, now Chancellor Strine, used in the Gibson case I just mentioned, where he talked about what if the Gibsons had proposed a commercial marina with increased traffic that's not residential in nature and commercial use of the pond for recreational boating. There, he said, that might be something that fundamentally changes the character of the neighborhood, and that is exactly what we have here. The entire Cedar Neck Road Peninsula will be changed in character by this project forever, according to the applicant, because he intends to be there forever. The proposed Castaways project is designed to attract as many fun seekers who can fit into the wave pool and on the water slide, and that's an acceptable business objective, certainly. It's a recreational destination for anyone who's interested. It's designed to attract transient guests driving in their RVs, extra large vehicles, sometimes towing another car behind it, difficult to stop on a narrow road with few shoulders. The proposed project is designed as an outdoor facility by nature of the outdoor water park and the campsite. People enjoying the outdoors means they are outdoors both day and at night. This noise, together with the water park noise and noise of the large RV vehicles, is altogether different than what exists today in Cedar Neck Road. All of these things taken together result in a fundamental change to the character of the Cedar Neck Road Peninsula, and not one that it can handle, as you will hear from these residents that are here today. They're going to talk to you about how Cedar Neck Road, particularly the intersection at Fred Hudson by the Harris Cedar Grocery Store, is already a complete and total traffic jam during the summer months. There's one way onto the Cedar Neck Road Peninsula and one way off. That makes for already sometimes interesting or dangerous situations when there's an emergency or the need to evacuate, and that will be exacerbated by this type of high-volume commercial enterprise. Cedar Neck Road, as I mentioned just a moment ago, has little or no shoulders in many areas, and vehicles must share the road with pedestrians, bicyclists, moped drivers, often swerving out of the way to accommodate them. That will also be exacerbated with the RV traffic, these large vehicles, difficult to stop, difficult to maneuver on the roadways. The safety and traffic concerns, coupled with the fact that this type of outdoor amusement facility will be next door to residential communities where people have invested their savings, made their homes and lives, makes the Castaways project just a bad idea for Cedar Neck Road. What will this project do to pre-existing owners' investments, investments that were made long before this project came along? What effect will an outdoor amusement water park and 139 RVs have on a protected natural habitat that borders the project site? Considering all of these things, traffic, safety, protection of investments, protection of the natural habitat, the increase in protection of the tax base, noise and light associated with these outdoor uses, and the character, most importantly, the character of the existing neighborhood. Consideration of all of these things is the duty of the council according to the comp plan and state law. Simply put, the unsuitability of this project for Cedar Neck Road is not just the opinion of many local residents who are here today in opposition, but is what the comprehensive plan for Sussex County tells us. The applicant may have the best of intentions, and yes, the project may create some seasonal jobs and attract more tourists, but the economic element of the comprehensive plan tells us that we should pursue the objective of creating higher paying year-round jobs, and that we need to balance the tourist industry with the needs of the current inhabitants, inhabitants being the people who actually live here. And again, it must be in character with the neighboring community. When we do that, there is one legally sound decision, and that is denial of the Castaways project. Any other decision is subject to challenge according to your comp plan and subjects the local residents in the area to a situation that they simply did not sign on for when they made their investment, purchased their homes, and became part of the tax base and local community that is an integral part of the foundation of Sussex County. Therefore, we urge the council to deny this request. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Now, are you serving as the gatekeeper for the different witnesses who will testify? You indicated in your testimony many would be.
I do have a few for my group that will be coming up. So, Mr. Blanc, if you'd like to go next.
Okay.
Keep it moving.
You all want supper after all.
You could put a grocery store in that commercial property.
Now, if you recall, we did ask at the beginning that there is a place to sign in on the podium. If you would do that, please, and that'll be helpful for the clerk.
My name is Jim Gallant. I am the president of the Bethany Lakes Homeowners Association. Bethany Lakes is in the county, but we do have a Bethany Beach post office. One of our entrances is about 500 feet from Fred Hudson, 500 feet from the intersection of Cedar Neck and Fred Hudson. And the other intersection, or the other egress and access to our community, is on Cedar Neck Road, to give you an idea of where we are. Our opposition to Castaway Bethany is not based on the concept. As a matter of fact, we think Castaways Bethany is a very smart business model, combining 139 RV sites and 60 of what the developer promotes as resort cottages and a water park and amusement park. I wish I had thought of the idea. And it does appear to be smartly designed, but as a standalone business, and the ownership as we know it, I was going to say probably, but I would say certainly it would be smartly operated. The applicant cites numerous awards given to their Castaways Ocean City business. Castaways Ocean City thrives in harmony with its surrounding area because it's located in open space next to a golf course or close by to a golf course and close to the airport, not surrounded by residential communities. So our opposition here is not about the concept, it's about location, location, location. Castaway Bethany would be placed in the midst of 29 residential neighborhoods and any number of individual homes up and down the Cedar Neck Peninsula, which is less than 2 miles long and very, very narrow. 1,100 feet from the James Farm Ecological Preserve and only 1,600 feet from the entrance road to Fresh Pond, Delaware Seashore Park. So ask yourself, would you want Castaways Bethany next door to your home or across the street from your neighborhood? I think the answer is obvious. And why is it so close? Why does it have to be so close to these precious environmental areas with so much other land so close by to this peninsula? Other people here, which are more capable than I, will address the nuisance issues and then the intrusion of the natural habitat and the sewage issues this project will create for residents nearby. So I would like to go into this family campground for just a minute. Referring to the site as a family campground conjures up an image of families sitting around a campfire in front of their pop-up trailers and tents, roasting marshmallows or cooking burgers or cooking fish. That's a little bit misleading. Castaways Bethany proposes 139, as we know, RV sites. And to give this a little bit of perspective, as you travel across the Indian River Bridge and you look west toward the bay, you see an ocean of recreational vehicles during the season, of course. All of those sites are filled. What you're seeing are 144 recreational vehicles in that Indian River campground. That's just five more than what the applicant is asking to park along Cedar Neck Road. And here is another look or a more perspective of what these vehicles may be. This is a, for instance, this is a typical 40 by 10 recreational vehicle. Here's a couple of others that can see that these are not small vehicles. They're big, most of them 400 square feet in size. So now, let's just talk about traffic, if I can, for a minute. How are these vehicles going to access and egress this site? The short answer, from the south along two-lane Central Avenue and Cedar Neck Road, and from the east along two-lane Fred Hudson Road. With all the traffic going and coming, moving through the intersection of Cedar Neck and Fred Hudson, that's because Cedar Neck dead ends to the north at Quillen's Point, and Fred Hudson T-bones into the intersection of Cedar Neck Road. There's no other access or egress. Initially, the applicant estimated that 1,028 trips per day would be added to the traffic flow through that intersection and along Cedar Neck. That number has been revised upward to 1,263 vehicles added per day. At the same time, the numbers of vehicle trips per day attributed to the water park was revised upward from 80 trips to 378 trips. Well, a little perspective on this. Absent any recent DLDOT traffic count, Bethany Lakes did their own count of traffic moving through that intersection at Cedar Neck and Fred Hudson. It was done on Saturday, August 18th, in 2 one-hour periods, from 11 a.m. till noon and again from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 4. We counted 2,714 automobiles and trucks during that two-hour period. You do the math, it's easy enough to do. That's about 1,350 per hour. We also counted 74 bicyclists, 24 walkers and joggers, 34 motorcyclists and mopeds, and 3 ambulances. And had I been able to talk my 3 daughters into crossing with their baby strollers, we would have counted those too. So, but anyway, if we use the most recent figures from the applicant of 1,263 vehicles using the intersection per day, and assuming that most of these trips will be made in a 12-hour period between 9 o'clock and 9 p.m., 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 p.m. at night, more than 105 cars and trucks would be added per hour moving through that intersection. Kudos to DelDOT for the job they've done, but even their magic has not been able to fix the sometimes very treacherous navigation through this intersection. What kind of vehicles would be included in the 1,263 which would be added? Well, here's a look at some of them. Many of them, of course, are towed behind trucks. They're not all self-propelled. Whoops. Oops. Here is another view of another RV being towed by a truck. Some of these also pull a car behind them. You can imagine this coming up 2-lane Central Avenue, 2-lane Fred Hudson Road. Here's a view of another one. These are not small vehicles. So, you know, that is a concern of ours, not only the number of vehicles, but also the size of them. And some final points, just so there's no misunderstanding, the water park and amusement park is promoted in some documents to the state and county as a semi-private facility. The applicant has told us today that it's going to be open 8 in the morning and close at 8 in the evening, but 10 of those hours it will be open to the general public. 60 duplexes or resort cottages, as they're being promoted, will remain or will be daily rentals, and some will be weekly rentals. I don't know if there's much of a difference between that and a suite motel. What is the capacity of the water park? Traffic, I mean, that can be important. Traffic is going to continue to flow to the park, even though it's maybe at capacity. They're not going to know until they get there whether that park is full and whether they are going to be gain admittance. The applicant also states security will be provided 24 hours a day. The public facility evaluation report lists only one staff member required to patrol the grounds to ensure that safety. And the final point I wanted to make, and it was already been addressed, but I'll just mention it quickly. The most local and state governments, as we know, are all struggling financially. Not enough income to offset the cost of doing business, the business of government. The state of Delaware is no different, but they're doing a lot better off than some states. And the counties to the north of us are now making the hard choices. But our county, Sussex County, is, I guess, in okay shape. It certainly seems to be. And that is because this council and previous ones have made wise decisions. A lot of that is because of wise decisions made about land use and doing these studies about how much revenue will be generated by one, compare it to the other. We know in the future that we may need a county police force, maybe later than sooner, but it could come. We're gonna need paramedics as we grow. Fire services are gonna need more assistance, and we're gonna need maybe new or larger elementary schools and high schools. So the council did us all a service by comparing the residential community, which was approved in 2007, to this current one, and we have to thank you for that. This is just not a good fit for its location, and we would ask this council to deny the application. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. And the next speaker?
My name is George Herker. I am a resident beside this project that they're proposing, and I have a couple properties that surround it. Council President, members, I ask the board not to be short-sighted, but think the long-term advantages for this area. To disappoint one LLC an investor for the short term, 4 to 5 months. As far as jobs that Castaways have projected that they'll have, there would be far greater advantages if you had residential homes with plumbers, electricians, tradesmen, cable, telephone, and other resources that would be needed than 64 jobs. To begin with, as already mentioned, the taxes, which is in this exhibit, demonstrates for a year alone the impact that the county would benefit from. As far as 144 resident homes, permanent homes, the taxes would be far greater, as this here exhibit shows, with individual tax folios as opposed to one LLC tax folio. Mr. Burbidge, I admire you for your plans and your intent. As a businessman, though, over 42 years in business, I would never consider any investment that would disappoint or impact 1,000 or more people for one investment. I ask the board to please focus on safety. By far, this has a major impact on traffic patterns. So this alone makes a different council decision for this area. This will place people in a deadlock condition for evacuation and emergency purpose and cause a flag peninsula. Simply, if you stretch 144 RVs that are 60 foot in length from the entrance of this project, it would extend to almost the Indian River Bridge. Current conditions in this area is a reserved lifestyle, which all people on this floor have grown accustomed to. Not only does this application jeopardize their safety, but also the noise that it's going to incur from diesel engine and vehicles and the air polluted vehicles from the transient environment that's going to take place. I ask the board members to put politics aside and vote for caring and doing what is right for the people here. We certainly don't need a Disney World in the heart of our community. In closing, I ask council members, as already had been asked, if they woke up tomorrow and a campsite or water park was being proposed next to their home, would you be down on the floor here with us and voting opposing this project? I want to thank each member of the board in advance for making the correct decision regarding this application.
Thank you. The next speaker, please. And these are still part of your group that you were anticipating, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Maybe you can have whoever's going to be next prepared and the one follow-up.
If you want to grab the clipboard, maybe, and just head them off. There, yes. That might keep things moving, okay?
Do that.
If you don't mind. Hey,
thank you.
Hello. My name is Loita Stango, and I represent the Salt Pond Homeowners Association. I'm president of Salt Pond, and I live at 613 Bethany Loop, and we have over 500 owners in our development, with more than 50% of them being full-time residents. The Salt Pond was established in 1991, and the people that bought those homes in the early days after retiring are now reaching their 70s, some are in their 80s, and some are in the 90s. And as you know, as we get older, our reflexes get a little bit slower. And one thing I would like to stress is that we have a lot of these, and I hate to call them elderly, but our elderly neighbors are driving these highways, and they're going to the senior center down on the local area that we're talking about. They're going at the G&E grocery store, and I would certainly hate to think that one of our neighbors pulls out and they're a little slow and an RV can't stop in time to let them get through, and there are no stoplights up in those areas to let them out. So that's one concern of mine. Now, our development is located along Central Avenue and Fred Hudson Road, also known as Route 360. And the Harris Teeter store, it's in the Salt Pond Plaza, is in front of our development. And their customers use the Salt Pond streets to enter their store. So they're already coming into our neighborhood. That's additional traffic. We have two more stores that's going to be built, throwing more traffic in that area. So not only do we have a lot of traffic already there, there's going to be more coming. The intersection at Central Avenue and Cedar Neck may become a bottleneck with all the additional traffic proposed from the Castaways project. And I just think that at the project at full capacity will just add more than our roads can accommodate. There are times during the summer that Fred Hudson backs up from Route 1 down near the Harris Teeter store. So us in the Salt Pond cannot exit our neighborhood to get out during holidays, the heavy weekends, so we're kind of already stuck. And we've asked DelDOT repeatedly to widen the turning lane from Fred Hudson going out to Route 1, and that has not been done, and you're trying to get out to make that turn, and you end up in the ditch. Central Avenue and Fred Hudson Road are the primary roads used by the Millville Ambulance Service to transport patients to the BB Hospital. And I can see at least 5 or 6 trips per day currently in there. And when the traffic backs up, there isn't any way they can get through. Another important issue to keep in mind is that during heavy storms, Route 360, which is one of the main entrance roads we're talking about, is underwater and impassable. During my time in the Salt Pond, I've seen this road closed due to standing water on many occasions. And I'm not talking about the hurricanes. I'm talking about a regular nor'easter, and we can't get out. When this happens, the only way out of our neighborhood is Route 26. And I can't imagine putting all of that traffic, including additional RV traffic, et cetera, on Route 26 to try to avoid to leave the area during a storm. And through all of this that I've been hearing, I've heard no mention of new evacuation procedures. I don't know if we need those or not, but something we need to think about, because I can't imagine having a hurricane and we're all trying to leave our neighborhood down Route 26 and there's 139 RVs getting in our way and we can't get out. Also, Route 26, we get traffic from Route 26 and flows on Fred Hudson Road now. And on that road, we have limited lane access for bicyclists and pedestrians. And there's been a bicycle path constructed, but also that is a very much a safety issue because they have to cross over the main highway at 360, and it's a very dangerous intersection. And I've also thought about people trying to cross that intersection on their bicycle, and then the RVs coming down the road, and they can't stop in time, and it can be an accident waiting to happen, I think. I feel that the Castaways project, if it's approved, it poses serious traffic and safety problems for our Salt Pond community, as well as our surrounding neighborhoods. The risk to drivers, pedestrians, and bicyclists, and the problem with the noise and lights this project will produce makes Castaways Bethany a bad choice for our neighborhood. And I ask that you please deny this application. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. The next speaker. Now, we have heard several being very articulate in describing the traffic impact, the no shoulders, narrow roads, flooding the large RVs that are potentially on the property, the pedestrians, and the bicyclists. So as much as possible, if you could address other issues and, you know, maybe just say ditto to the traffic issues.
Well, ditto to all of them, obviously. Excuse me. My name's Harry Krieger. I mean, I live on the reservation, and I do believe that mine's going to be a little bit different.
Thank you.
Leastways, I hope. Good afternoon, gentlemen and lady. As I said, my name is Harry Krieger, and my wife, Ermi, and I moved to the reservation in 1996, about 16 and a half years ago. We're within 200 feet of the proposed site, and we strongly oppose the change, being collectively requested in 1719, 1720, and CU1944, simply because it just doesn't fit. The main reason we selected this area was its overwhelmingly residential nature, and it was off the beaten path. And the basic necessities, as mentioned by someone I think before, were readily available on Cedar Neck Road: grocery store, gas station, hardware store, liquor store, and the old Magnolia's restaurant. Each of these establishments directly supported this unincorporated community, and they continue to do that to this day. And I might add, so does the mini storage. There are many people from our community use that. But Ermi and I aren't unique. In talking with residents on this peninsula over the years, and particularly during the past 3 weeks, the vast majority of people I've spoken with came here from similar circumstances and absolutely for the same reasons. And that is the quietness, the solitude, and the natural beauty surrounding us, and the fact that it continues to be overwhelmingly residential. I don't know if it's age or time of day. When we received the notice of hearing, our knee-jerk reaction as 200-footers was the obvious devaluation of our home that would result with such a business adjacent to us. And with so many others on this peninsula, our home is the greatest asset in our nest egg. We have been, Ermi and I have been self-sustaining for our 48 years of marriage. And I guess, as my dad would say, you never got a damn dime from anybody else. And we want to continue in that manner. Such devaluating would be devastating. No room for a reverse mortgage, for example, should that become necessary. Early on in my research, it became glaringly evident that the issue was much larger than just us. This type of business would have a grossly negative effect on almost everyone on the Cedar Neck Peninsula in one way or another, and upon the environment as well, as upon a greatly many in the surrounding areas. In a nutshell, as I looked into this thing, it just doesn't fit. This proposed business does not make one substantive, positive contribution to the residents of the peninsula, not one. And I've heard not one word of civic mindedness in the application of this project to the peninsula. The perceived benefits of increased gross receipts taxes to Delaware and the increase in jobs in Sussex County, I believe, are indeed valid and would indeed still be realized if this project was placed in another area in Sussex County that is much more suitable for this type of activity. It certainly isn't on the peninsula. The point that such recreational activity would increase spending at local real estate establishments is also valid, but that doesn't have to come from Cedar Neck Road Peninsula. It can come from a neighboring location, because Castaways will provide buses to transport its customers to and fro, thus alleviating the congested traffic that's already on our roads and yet still frequenting local businesses. One cannot deny the potential of the proposed enhancement for our county economy. One must, however, deny the current proposed location, and I am being redundant, but by golly, it just doesn't fit. There's no two ways about it. Let's consider significantly positive contributions to this peninsula, which is bounded on three sides by nature. They are the 150-acre parcel that a very forward-thinking lady bequeathed to Sussex County and which the Center for Inland Bays has restored to natural habitat. Recent DENREC efforts in reconfiguring wetlands ditches to enhance the return of wildlife is another very important factor. Purchases of land to enhance Delaware Seashore State Park, get my teeth back in. All of these efforts and expense would be violated by the intrusion of a waterslide park and its attendant activities. Perhaps the civilized beginning of the peninsula began with the Indian reservation where we now live. The next phase must have been farming. Then came the chickens. One farmer who's farmed on the peninsula for 61 years remarked to me the other day that not long ago there were chicken houses on every corner. Apparently, the chicken business became so large it moved inland. At some point, this peninsula had more mobile homes on the west side, and in the recent past, at least two of these communities have gone through conversion to conventional homes. This evolution is in residential neighborhoods and in returning natural habitat and wildlife. There's no room for businesses that do not blend in and do not contribute to this evolution, but serve only to detract from it. Your statements about Sussex County on the SussexCountyDE.gov website and on page 10 of Sussex County Profile 2012 have really greatly influenced me, my research on these issues that are inherent to this collective proposal. They pointed me in the right direction and gave me focus on the greater good. They serve also to provide insight to the great future for Sussex County, a future that can only be realized through balance. And I don't think all of that balance has to be on the peninsula. It just doesn't. This is a defining moment, not just for Ermi and me, but for all of us. And please excuse my sniffling. As you draw on your collective insight during your prudent analysis and discretion in these matters, I'm confident you will conclude that the business proposal to you simply does not fit in the Cedar Neck Road Peninsula, and that you will deny this proposal in its entirety. That concludes my presentation. I do have some items to possibly enter for the record.
Yes, just give those to Mr. Lank.
Yes, and Ermi and I really do appreciate the opportunity to come before you and to share with you our viewpoints. And I thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
So I would invite any questions or comments that you may have. Okay, thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Mr. Chairman, council members, my name is Bob Batke, and I live in the Quillens Point community, about a mile north of the proposed development. I built my home in 1991 and now reside there as a retired biologist and manager with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I share the concerns of the other residents, but I want to highlight just a few environmental concerns. Actually, there are several ecological concerns that I have. First, there's much less wildlife and fewer birds in the lower Indian River Bay because key wildlife habitats keep getting pinched off bit by bit. The edge habitat on the east side of the development, where the marsh and the forest meet, is key for herons, egrets, ospreys, and even a bald eagle or two that fly over all of the Cedar Neck Peninsula. Removal of the trees from this area, plus noise and light from the development, will drive these birds away. And besides being an environmentally sensitive developing area, it's also designated by the state of Delaware as key wildlife habitat, the wetlands are. And in the PLUS application, noted that there's equally important forested uplands adjacent. And this, again, is this specific area on the east side. In fact, in the PLUS application, DENREC recommended specific actions to protect these wetlands. In the applicant's response, the applicant acknowledged these, but did not make any specific recommendations. So the concern there remains. I'm also concerned about the runoff from the compacted RV sites into the wetlands, as the council members mentioned. Again, the applicant acknowledges these things, the TMDL reduction targets, requirement for a nutrient management plan, and a pollution control strategy, but does not say what they'll do. The sluice gut and marsh on the east side of development provide natural flood protection for Cedar Neck, as well as food and nursery habitat for the area's remaining fish and wildlife. It's also a tempting invitation to crabbers and kayakers from the campground, who damage the marsh if they enter from the development. And I was unaware until today that there are actually plans for entry points into the marshland with approval from, I believe it was DENREC. Nonetheless, measures should be taken to make sure that folks stay out of these wetlands beyond just a split rail fence. RVs themselves are notorious spreaders of invasive species. This has not been brought up before. They don't do this intentionally. Nonetheless, seeds, eggs, vines, and things like that get caught on the vehicles. They attach to boats. Eggs get laid in firewood, and they get moved around. Actually, it's hitchhikers around the country. This is very real. It's an recently recognized as an emerging problem. But costly examples of these things already in Delaware include Johnson grass and Canada thistle, which are threats to agriculture, gypsy moss, kudzu, mile-a-minute vine are ecological threats, and the Asian tiger mosquito carries West Nile virus and is a threat to human health. The James Farm Ecological Preserve and Fresh Pond State Park, each about a quarter mile from the project, and the values of these have been already read into the record and letters provided. But they're already trying to keep these invasive species in check. Adding so many RVs in and out of Cedar Neck will only increase the risk of this costly damage done by invasive species, and it's a bad idea. I believe the Cedar Neck area is at an ecological tipping point, and that this development will push the needle in the wrong direction. So I ask that you deny this application.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Alan Frost. I am a resident of Bethany Lakes, and I have a real problem with the assessment of Castaway's impact on the Cedar Neck sanitary sewer system. So this will be a little different than what you've heard before. I'm a retired engineer. I'm an avid RV operator. I've been that for many years, and I'm a full-time resident, full-time, of Bethany Lakes. My house is located 5 1/3 acre lots from the southernmost point of the Cedar Neck sewage treatment system. And I must tell you that while it smells bad most of the time, in the summer when there is a minor amount of loading from what I consider to be the influx of people that come there seasonally, it becomes absolutely unbearable. And now I'm 5 houses down. On occasion, when the wind's out of the right quadrant, I don't have a problem using my porches and my decks. But the two folks that live directly next to these things, and they paid, I would say, $500,000 each for their houses, have absolutely no use at all of the outside of their houses. They can't even open their windows. We've asked several times for relief from this. We've been told that the system, whether this is true or not, I don't know. The system is overtaxed as it is, and aside from adding more bacteria to the systems and pumping them more frequently, which they supposedly have done this summer, it has made absolutely no result or no improvement. My argument is with this incredible thing called an EDU, an equivalent dwelling unit. I'm sure you all are familiar with what that means. But just in case, as you know, engineering relies heavily on the laws of physics, but on occasion, in order to size things, they use guidelines. We grab onto guidelines, yardsticks, call them averages. The EDU is one of those averages. It looks at a dwelling with a certain number of fixtures and predicts how much effluent that particular dwelling will generate. A wise friend of mine once told me that averages are really kind of misleading. In fact, he uses as an example that the average temperature in Washington, D.C. is absolutely perfect. The problem is that most of the time it's really bad, either too hot or too cold. And that's the case with this system. As an RV owner, there are three phases that you need to know about in an RV life at a campsite. The first phase occurs when people check in. Mom and Dad get out of the RV, they hook up to all the utilities, and then they pull the lever on the waste handling system. And depending upon how long that RV's been on the road, where it stopped, and the size, they drop somewhere between 40 and 80 gallons of raw, untreated sewage into the park's system right then. That's somewhere between 30 and 60 flushes of a normal residential toilet. The second phase occurs for the remainder of the time that they remain on site. And this is probably where whoever came up with the EDU concept that says it takes three RVs to equal one condominium may have fallen short. Now, an RV only has usually one commode, a couple of sinks, one in the kitchen, one in the bathroom, and a shower. Some of them now have laundries, by the way. Jim's pictures showed you some of those. So one would think that if you're hooked up with just one of those things into a pipe that goes into the system, you're probably not generating as much as a normal two-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house. However, what happens is in an RV system, the sewage flows through the holding tanks and then out the hose into the RV park. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that sewage is made up of solids and liquids, and solids that flow through those tanks tend to stick to the bottom. So those of us who have been around for a while, the minute we finish dumping the initial load of 80 gallons, we close those valves. And we wait until the tanks have filled up again, then we open the valves and drop another 80 gallons. My RV was only 35 feet, pretty modest compared to some of these things, and I had an 80-gallon tank of black water. The final phase occurs when people get ready to leave. And what they do then is they leave themselves connected to the Sussex Shores water system long enough to flush and dump and flush and dump and flush and dump their tanks until the color of the effluent matches the color of the water going in. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, given the state of the sewer system as it relates to Bethany Lakes and I'm sure some of the other communities downstream, when you start adding boluses of 80-gallon dumps of sewage from 139 RV sites, and these sites are going to be, I guess, advertised as being weekly rentals, you're going to get a tremendous problem that you can't even comprehend with today's standards. So based upon that, I urge you in the strongest terms possible to take another look at the impact of that spot. And I also ask you that you deny Castaway's proposal until at the very least the existing system is sufficiently improved to eliminate the current sickening impact on the communities. Or if you do approve the proposal, require as a condition that the developer include at his expense an effective means of handling the effluent his project will produce without impacting the existing system. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next speaker, please.
My name is Steve Swarbrick.
Can you come to the podium because it's broadcast as well?
My name is Steve Swadley, and I've lived in Cedar Neck for a long, long time. And I wanted to talk about a couple of points. One was the Seasons versus the Castaways and uses already being in place. And permits and approvals that were done for this were probably done in the early 2000s. But the Seasons never came, but the uses are still there. But things are different, and permits might have expired or might be void, and that was one thing. And also, living there. This is a house we lived in, and Dad built in 1958. And we came to Ocean View from West Virginia, and Mom had polio when she was 19 and couldn't make it around in West Virginia because it was hilly and mountainous, and that's why we came here. And this is what the area looked like back then. It was all wooded and farmland, and down at the end of the field was Mrs. Lightheight, and she was our neighbor and our friend. And the last thing I wanted to point out was use this map. And this is a little map of Cedar Neck. And where our house is, where Mom's house is right about here. And where the project would come would probably be, her house is right here, sorry, right across from this. And this is the area that it included, that it will take. And this is what's left. And Mary Lightheight lived here and gave this land. And you know, we talked about the Sussex County Growth Plan and their vision. And I wonder what Mary Lightheight's vision was when she gave this land. And when she looked down this field and she knew what this was, these fields and these woods and what's in there. And this truly is one of the prettiest places in the state. And I don't think that fits with the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elaine Manlove, president of Cedar Landing Homeowners Association. I'm going to skip a whole bunch of what I have to say because it does talk about traffic, which is probably, from me, the biggest impact of this. I'm astounded that anybody would put something directly across from the Hocker complex when there's no in and out on that side. You would need at least a traffic light, and we don't even have an entrance as it stands now. What I do have, though, is from Cedar Landing, letters signed by all of our residents. I emailed all of them to you yesterday, so you should have them, but I wanted to get the original into the record. All of us that live in Cedar Landing or all along that peninsula know that that land will be developed, and that's not our opposition. This is just not the right project, and you've heard that from everybody here. I'm not going to go over it again. The roads can't handle it, the ecology can't handle it, and none of these residents can handle it. So thank you. We'll urge you to not approve this. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Lawrence Scar. I live at 37871 Island Drive, which is also in Cedar Landing. And I think I could be relatively short and cross out most of the things I was going to say with referring to your ditto to everything.
Thank you. It's noted.
The point I want to make is I just don't think this water park is appropriate to the spot in Cedar Landing, which is made for. It's appropriate perhaps in parts of Route 1. It's appropriate perhaps on Route 113 in spots. It would not be appropriate in Route 1A in residential Rehoboth. It would not be appropriate, I wouldn't think, next door to one of the small communities, the small rural communities that thrive in Sussex County, because it changes the atmosphere. Similarly, it's not appropriate in the peninsula because it's just going to change the reason we all came to live there. I chose to live there because it was a quiet resort. My wife and I enjoy it. We could have lived in Ocean City. We could have lived in New York City. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to devote the rest of our lives here in this area. From 35,000 feet looking down on this, an amusement park is different from stores. It's different from things that serve the community. I'm afraid I waded into the ditto area, so I'll just stop that. It's just not appropriate for this site, and it's going to change our lives immeasurably if it were approved. One last thing I'd like to say is, and covered in part, but I promise to be quick. The jobs that are being created here are seasonal jobs. They're not career jobs. And I know from coming here that a lot of these seasonal jobs, quite frankly, are staffed by people who are flown in here from Eastern Europe and other places by companies who specialize in bringing people in here. They work here, and then they leave. These are not the kind of jobs that are going to help our community particularly. With regard to the business generated, I don't doubt there'll be some business generated by the people here, but I would like to ask the council to please balance whatever additional business is generated by this water park against the lives of the people who are here who really do not want to have their investments cheapened and don't want to have their lives changed. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker. I think at this point we've had speakers, many state it's not appropriate for this location. The permits are different. The jobs are seasonal. We've had explanations for sanitary sewer system, ecological, environmental issues discussed, natural issues, taxes, privacy, and valuation, plus the traffic issues.
Thank you. My name is Walter Curran. I'm the current president of the Bear Trap Dunes Homeowners Association, and I'm here today to represent all 700 homeowners. Obviously, my talk has been truncated severely by the prior speakers, and I guess that's a good thing. There's only one thing I want to talk about as far as traffic. I think the DLDOT decision to not conduct a traffic impact study was flawed, and that one of the basic premises they used was data from a mobile home park, which is considerably different than a recreational vehicle park. Mobile home park is essentially permanent homes, cars go in and out. A recreational vehicle park has a much higher turnover rate, so I think the basis of that decision was flawed, and they really should have a traffic impact study, as opposed to a wide area study, which they went for. And if you, I liken that to looking at a 10-gallon water bottle. The body of the bottle is real easy, and if you're a fish, you can move. But try and get through that neck, it's a whole different thing. Everything else has been covered. For the record, Bear Trap Dunes Homeowners Association completely supports all of the objections to the applicant's viewpoint insofar as the comprehensive plan is concerned that was raised by Mary Schreider Fox, and we completely agree with her suppositions, her conclusions, and her opinions that was expressed on her side of what that comprehensive plan should be and the proper interpretation of it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there another speaker? I think there's one coming here. And we do appreciate those. I know that many people had longer statements prepared, but the acknowledgement that maybe it's been covered before, appreciate that, and the council notes that.
Thank you. I already signed the sheet, so I don't believe I have to sign. I just have...
And your name, sir?
My name is Steve Callinan, and I live at 38986 Bayfront Drive, Quillen's Point, Ocean View, and I've been a permanent resident there for the last 15 years. Before I give my brief testimony, I would like to ask Lawrence Lank a question. And his opening remarks, I don't recall, and I might have missed it, the count... a hand-show count that was taken at the P&Z hearing of the number of people that were in attendance that were opposed to this project.
It was estimated, and it was listed in my comments when I first addressed it. Let me find my comments again. The difficulty I had with my count is I couldn't count who was out in the foyer, and I could see people milling back and forth around. There was quite a few, and there was the lights were out in the back corner, and we estimated there was probably 10 to 20 people in that corner.
So approximately what was the...
approximate number. Let's see. That was right in the middle of the meeting. I,
why don't you go on and
okay,
go ahead and speak, I'll tell you what number.
Okay, I agree with and totally concur with all of the testimony that's been already submitted in opposition to this project. One of the remarks that Mr. Fuqua made at the P&Z hearing, and he repeated again today, is that this is an appropriate location for this project. And I submit that I totally disagree with that statement, that it is a totally inappropriate location for this project. And on my way here today, I travel up and down Cedar Neck Road all the time, and I can't help but notice how narrow the little walkways are on either side of the road. And it's interesting that Del Dot requires a 10-foot wide walkway, bikeway, that the applicant has pointed out. And yet, right across the street from Magnolia's restaurant, there's a telephone pole. And there is no more than about 36 inches between the telephone pole and the very edge of the road. And there's a long strip, if you want to call it a shoulder, that's paved on the edge of the road on both sides, that is a little bit more than 24 inches. That is a very hazardous situation. And I know other people have talked about traffic, but I just wanted to let you know that I actually went and measured the thing. On the morning of May 30th, 2005, during a visit to his summer house overlooking Quillen's Point in Ocean View, not far from Bethany Beach, my neighbor lives three doors down from me, Dr. Bruce Fellows, a vascular surgeon, 59 years old, considered going windsurfing, a sport he had enjoyed for several years, but there were no strong breezes. Instead, Fellows donned a helmet and took his custom Trek bike out for a ride. I was very safety conscious. I had mirrors on my bike, and I wouldn't go out when there was any rain. Fellows was riding south on the shoulder of Cedar Neck Road in Ocean View when a Wilmington man turned his Jeep, towing a trailer, into the parking lot of a storage center and into Fellows' path. Fellows tried to brake, but he was thrown over the handlebars and hit the side of the vehicle. Fellows stopped breathing at the scene three times. He was flown to Christiana Hospital, where surgery stabilized his broken vertebrae. Fellows also had a tracheotomy, an incision made into the windpipe to help him breathe. Fellows suffered a traumatic C2 cervical spinal cord injury similar to that of the late actor Christopher Reeve. During the past 17 months, and this was written in September of 2006, the doctor has been adapting to life as a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down, permanently dependent on a ventilator that helps him breathe. If I get disconnected from the ventilator, I essentially could be dead very soon, Fellows said. His once thriving medical practice has been sold. Fellows has moved into a new home and can accommodate his motorized wheelchair and a team of nursing aides who are by his side 24 hours a day. Before his accident, Fellows lived a life of whirlwind activity. He saw about 40 patients a week at his practice, vascular surgery associates, and performed 300 to 400 surgeries a year. Because he could no longer examine patients, he sold his practice not long after the accident. His Sussex County beach house, the one right down from where I live, was sold shortly thereafter. Fellows relies on disability insurance. Fellows, whose two children are away at college, now shares his home with two cats and a rotating staff of four nursing aides. After graduating from Ohio State University with a Bachelor of Science degree, he attended medical school at Ohio State College of Medicine, and after that completed his internship and surgical residency at the former Wilmington Medical Center in Delaware. He went on to graduate from Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, completing a fellowship in vascular surgery there in 1979. He returned to Wilmington, where he joined a vascular surgery practice, and in 1980 he founded Vascular Surgery Associates of Delaware. Dr. Bruce Fellows passed away at his home in Greenville, Delaware, on Saturday, July 30th, 2011. He was 63 years old. I believe that County Council, I submit that you have to assume responsibility, personal responsibility, for safety issues that result from the unsafe roadway that would go to the proposed development, which I am very much opposed to. And I have a hand in commentary from where the remarks that I gave today came from, that will be for your record.
There was a,
thank you for allowing me to comment.
Steve, I had 170 names on, as far as present in the public, and during the public hearing with the commission. And we based, Mr. Robertson counted 88, I believe. I counted 57 without counting that corner or the room out in the foyer.
I'm Shirley Price. I live at 34861 Atlantic Avenue in Ocean View. My mother lives at 30370 Cedar Neck Road, a few hundred yards down the road from this the project that we're discussing. And I know we've heard lots of things about traffic, and yes, I think it's going to be an issue. And I don't understand it. It has no logic to me that there isn't a need for an additional traffic study. So part of this is I'm going to ask that, I don't know if it's in your purview or not, to ask DLDOT to take a closer look at the level of traffic and whether there really should be a traffic study done that takes into consideration the information that we've been given on both sides today. I'm asking you to validate that. You're our land use professionals, and I hope you would do that. But the one thing I'm going to talk to you about for a moment is the effect on property values. I've been a realtor for 10 years. And I can tell you that I feel the water park in the area will have a negative impact on property values. And it's also going to affect time on market. I take people out to look at properties all the time. And when we pull up and they see what is in the surrounding area, many times we don't even get into the house, even though it may be well-priced, beautiful home. They don't want to be in that location. And I think that water park is in the wrong place in this area. I'm thinking that maybe even 20 to 25% it could affect property values if you live right on the edge of the property. So I would appreciate your consideration of these concerns, and I'm going to leave you with this because as my mother spoke to me this morning and she asked where I was going, I said I'm going to go talk planning and zoning and hear about the Castaways project. She wanted me to tell you this is not the right place for that project, and I appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? I see one person moving quickly to the front.
Thank you. My name is Kathy Vengazzo. I live in Ocean View, Delaware. I don't live on this peninsula myself, but I did send a letter to the council, to every one of you, by email and to Mr. Lank, on the 20th of September, and I hope you got it because you didn't mention it as one letter that you received. I wrote it on behalf of a group that I chair, that is a consortium of HOAs in Sussex County, predominantly in the Ocean View, Bethany area. We have 22 homeowners associations in our group, and we represent approximately 3,400 homeowners. There are a number of things that we mentioned in our letter that I won't repeat here because they've been said today. I'm very impressed with the presentation of the attorney for the Homeowners Association. I think she gave a very eloquent presentation of why these zoning variances or whatever they're called should not be approved, and our group fully concurs with that. I will add just a few points that I think are relevant. One is most of us bought our properties in this area because they call it the quiet resorts. And I think adding a water park and typically transient vacationers with RVs and large vehicles will take that quiet aspect away from it. Secondly, I come from Montgomery County, Maryland, where they had fairly sophisticated zoning requirements. And they required developers who wanted to develop land in Montgomery County to do certain things before they were allowed to proceed, like fix the infrastructure that was missing, set aside parkland, those kinds of things. I think you've had ample testimony today that Fred Hudson Road and Cedar Neck Road are inadequate to take on 300 and some RVs every Saturday morning, along with all of the other rental turnovers we have in the area. I myself have gone down Fred Hudson Road trying to get to Route 1 after a rainstorm, and it does not have to be a nor'easter to find that that road is flooded and you have to turn around. I have a regular sedan. It's difficult to turn that car around in that narrow roadway when you have water, you know, on the at the end of the road. I don't know how an RV or a truck pulling a recreational vehicle is going to have to do it. You're going to have to get emergency vehicles and cranes in there to back them out. So I can see that being a potential nightmare. The other point I want to make is the zoning and the land plans were set by you with great input, I'm sure, from your staff and the wisdom that we hope that you bring to it. These three variances that are being requested are exceptions to what you put in place. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It seems to me that there's a reason that you put those current zoning areas in there, and maybe they should stay the way they are. And if a developer bought it with those parameters, maybe the developer needs to build within those parameters. The last point I want to make is the crosswalk going right into the Hawker complex. I don't think that Mr. Hawker had anything to do with that. At least I spoke with him earlier, and he said he didn't. I think it was testified earlier that DelDOT said it should go there because it wasn't supposed to go on Sandy Cove Road. But I think putting a crosswalk into that totally disorganized entranceway you have to Hawkers, 12 cars at a time could be trying to get out of Hawkers, and to put a crosswalk there, I think, is very unwise. I thank you for your time, and I don't envy you the deliberation you have ahead of you. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Lank, that letter was part of the record, was it not?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
I'm curious about something when you're down there. Go ahead. Never mind.
I am Virginia Johnston. I live at 301 Cedar Neck Road. Pardon me for the water. I have dry mouth, and I'll lose my voice. My name is Virginia Johnston, and I live on Cedar Neck Road across from the subject property. I live in a peaceful, private residential area. Castaways Bethany wants to build a campground and an amusement park with a water slide and a swimming facility right smack in the middle of it. I oppose CU 1944, CC 1719, CC 1920. I'd like to address how noise will impact the area and the vicinity of the proposed development. It's called noise pollution. The traditional definition of noise is unwanted or disturbing sound. Sound becomes unwanted when it is either interferes with normal activities such as sleeping, conversation, or disrupts or diminishes one's quality of life. Secondhand noise is more troubling because it has negative impacts on us, but it is put into the environment by others without our consent. Let me quote the state of Delaware's regulations governing the control of noise. Pursuant to the provisions of Part 7, Title 7, Chapter 71 of the Delaware Code, these regulations are to prevent, prohibit, and provide for the abatement of excess and unnecessary noise and or vibration which may endanger the health, safety, and welfare, jeopardize the value of property, and erode the integrity of the environment of the people of this state. As stated within the regulations, paragraph 3, noise means any sound which annoys or disturbs humans, or which causes or tends to cause an adverse psychological or physiological effect on humans. Noise pollution affects both health and behavior. It can cause annoyance and aggression. Studies have shown that there are direct links between noise and health problems, including stress-related illnesses, high blood pressure, speech interference, hearing loss, sleep disturbances, and lost productivity. The proposed development will have constant noise from RVs, cars, trucks, pickup trucks, buses, motorcycles, lawn equipment, music, amplifiers, air conditioners, generators, animals, children screaming, and so on. There will be nonstop noise pollution all day long and into the late evening hours. This excessive noise will also harm and chase away the wildlife from the woods and the wetland areas. The Census Bureau reports that noise is the major reason why people move. Who wants to buy a home in the vicinity of an RV and a water slide park development? This development would jeopardize the value of our homes, our life savings. No buffer around the proposed development is going to protect my health, my safety, my welfare. The noise will annoy and disturb me. The state noise regulations state it will protect me against these things. This project will cause my property value to plummet. And again, the Delaware's noise regulations strictly state it will protect, prevent, and prohibit excess noise that will jeopardize the value of my property. I object to the development of Castaways Bethany on Cedar Neck Road, not only for the noise pollution it will cause, but also, one, the increase in traffic that existing roads can't handle, that is Cedar Neck Road, Fred Hudson Road, and Central Avenue. Two, probable increase in crime due to no security or local police. Three, other unnecessary nuisances such as lights and smells. And four, harm and or pollution to our environment, our wetlands, and our wildlife. I oppose proposals CU 1944, CZ 1719, and CZ 1720. This development will violate my rights under the noise regulations of the state of Delaware. Thank you.
I have a question. What if it were developed strictly residential? Homes, single-family homes, detached homes, and maybe multi-family homes with a big activity center and a huge pool for everyone. Is that something that would disturb the neighborhood, do you think?
I wouldn't live close to it.
You wouldn't live close to it?
No, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Did you need a wrap-up?
No. We need our list back. We need our list of sign and speakers back.
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, at this point, Mr. President, I've not seen any, I see one hand. You need to come up to the podium and identify yourself, please, for the record. You didn't want to do that, did you?
No.
And sign in, please.
There's no pen.
Okay, so state your name then.
Yeah, just say it nice and clearly.
Because okay. He stole a pen.
I'm Jeannie Sandifer. I live in Cedar Landing. I'd just like to know, with this park, with the campers and so forth, because I come from a camping family, what about the pets and so forth they bring? Are they going to be able to be contained?
What?
Dogs?
It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they made provisions.
We don't allow the questioning back and forth, so, but that is something you've raised now for the record that council would consider. And obviously, if there were a decision, that could be part of a condition.
Yeah, you know, because with animals you have waste right. also. And I would like to say that I'm not here to beat this man down by any means, but we don't want it in our backyard because we will be able to walk to it. It's that close to us. But I have 9 grandchildren, and which have come over the years and now have gotten older, and they don't so much because they work, they're in college and so forth, and one is now in Afghanistan serving our country. But the little ones, the biggest enjoyment for them when they come down here is to get on the bicycles and ride down the road and go to James Farm. They just think that's the coolest thing in the world, is to get into that bay and to watch the
horseshoe crabs.
Thank you. Horseshoe crabs and the fish and so forth. So
thought I'd help.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Thanks.
And I thought I'd help.
Thanks. Okay. I need all I can get. But, you know, we appreciate your time, and we know your day has been long. But okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And is there anyone else? I'm going to be like an auctioneer. It's going, going, gone. I see no one else. So at this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mr. Hocker is very much involved in this, but did he say he would not testify? Is that what his statement said?
There was a statement that Mr. Lank read.
Mm-hmm. He's not testifying?
Why is he involved?
I mean, why?
He was basically...
His name's been mentioned seven times.
He wasn't taking either side.
No, his name's been mentioned here 7 times.
No one is required to testify.
That's his right.
About the grocery store, that type of thing. So I'm just wondering.
It's his right.
It's just a neighboring property.
All right, I just want to be sure I understood that.
And that's what his daughter said.
I just want to be sure I understood that.
Yes, and that...
I don't know whether we close or not, but I got a couple questions, and it may be something we might want to consider. There was the issue about the... because we can't vote on it today.
That is right? Correct.
We got to defer on it. But there was the issue raised about the dumping of the sewage, and I think earlier in the day we heard something about dumping some sewer. So I would like to get some comments from the engineering department, because that was something that I don't think anybody ever considered to ask the engineering department if there is a concern about the dropping of a large amount at one time, and does it shock the system, or is any impact? So I would like to see if the council would be willing to keep the record open for that. And the other thing is I couldn't find anywhere in here, and maybe Mr. Fuqua's engineer or somebody could answer this, and so you could acknowledge him if you want, Mr. Moore, but DelDOT rates roads with letters like A, B, C, D, E, and F, and all that stuff. And for years, we used to always get DelDOT reports, and they would give you a rating of the road and the intersections and things like that. So I couldn't find anywhere where the rating is for Cedar Neck Road currently, and the intersection at Fred Hudson. And I'd also like to know if anybody could tell me what the official width of Cedar Neck Road is, because there was also references to the width of the bike paths, and the shoulders are very narrow. And I think it's something we should know, and I didn't see it anywhere, Lawrence. So if that's something Mr. Fuqua thinks he can answer with his information that you would have, if not, we'll just ask DelDOT's comments if there's no problem.
No. Then we'll give it to the record. We can
defer to DelDOT.
Okay, we'll defer. That'd be fine.
We can leave the record open for those two specific issues.
Yeah, I was thinking those two things were brought up at that. We didn't have that information. So thank you.
Still talking about traffic, George.
Pardon?
Are you still talking about the traffic after we talked about traffic for the last 2 hours?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so Mr. President, we can leave the record open for those two issues upon motion.
Right, we can close the public hearing.
The public hearing is closed at this point.
And we'll leave the record open for the information that Councilman Cole requested.
You need a motion for that?
We've traditionally been doing that.
Sure. What that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Deaver, second. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
To leave the record open to answer the questions Mr. Cole raised. I'm sure Mr. Lank has a copy of those.
Glad he did.
Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now entertain a motion to defer.
I'll make a motion to defer on this application.
Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver to defer. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson. I vote yes. Motion carried. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Dever, second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Dever.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson. I mean, yes, motion carried. We're now adjourned. Thank you very much.